You've just tuned in to 4IR South Africa. We hope to inspire coordinated, inclusive response to the fourth industrial revolution. This is your boy, TJ Ntokozo Mthembu, and I'm here with my co-host, Brunel. What's up?
It's always good to be here.
Come on, man.
Ntokozo.
This is what we do.
The last time you joked and said, I have christened you my co-host.
Properly. Like, I have been, it has been bestowed upon me.
Bestowed upon you. Yeah. No. And you are brilliant at it.
Come on.
I could not ever.
Look at you making me blush right
yes,
now.
Yes. I could not have never imagined you as a. And I said it, you know, potentially.
Yeah.
We do certain things.
Sure.
But don't see that it are leading us to greatness.
And that's exactly, even talking to you, South African, that look, okay, you might not even be South African, but you, listener, wherever you are, whatever your situation may be, that don't take it lightly that you're listening to this, because the connections that you make, and this is something that we realized, that look, we once met one day on a washing line, and it was just conversations between two people who just seemed to connect, and boom, it has led to this. So you never know what's in it for you and what's going to happen, how your future is going to change. And that's why you've tuned in to 4IR South Africa, where we're going to inspire the living daylights out of you, actually. So let's get into it. Brunel, last time we were talking about why South Africa is responding to 4IR. That's the title of your blog. Get into it. What's happening there?
Yeah. No, look, I mean, we try and address this question.
Yeah.
And point to just two major problems.
Go for it.
You know, with South Africa. But, you know, just the last point I was making on our previous episode.
Yeah, that's saying, episode,
you know,
two. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the fire is bringing us to talk. It's a, call it a new struggle.
Yeah, the new struggle
that we need to all participate in, as it will affect us all. But as I was saying to you, unfortunately, you know, the way the prevailing communication of this fourth industrial revolution is such that, you know, it is giving people a very, very limited perspective. And of course, we are here to try and expand that perspective.
Okay.
Okay? So, South Africans, what can technology do for me? That's what they say.
That's a powerful statement,
you
right?
Know, they say, what can technology do for me? They're not asking what technologies I can make in this context.
So the latter question is more powerful than the former.
Yes, because that's what drives
the creative spirit.
That is why we have the four IR. It is this the very same question that these people are asking themselves. What can I make of this technology?
A person who sees themselves as a solution as opposed to a victim.
Yes. You know, you have Apple Macintosh. Apple Macintosh happened in the same way.
Yeah.
When the personal computer came, it was a revolution.
Yeah.
Okay. Bill Clinton and his friends, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Bill Gates and his friends.
You're talking about Microsoft now.
Yes.
Because Apple is from Steve Jobs and then Microsoft.
No.
That would be
Let me tell you. There's a movie called The Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Yes.
You watch that movie. In fact, I want to recommend.
Come on.
Yes.
So you're also getting movie recommendations, by the way.
The Pirates of
the Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley.
That's a hub of innovation right there.
Exactly. That is why it's so powerful, that name. The Pirates of, because it is pirates, people who don't conform, that populated.
And you've just touched on the spirit of people like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, people who just stepped outside the norm.
They were pirates.
And as a result, they've changed the world.
Yes, they were pirates. So they were pirates. Of this personal computer was not there.
Yeah.
Now, Bill Gates left Apple Macintosh. They started together, but he left it and started Microsoft, because what he saw was that this hardware, because remember, the personal computer was still hardware,
okay,
and just very minimal application.
All right.
But Bill Gates again saw the potential in the technology and created what is called software, programs.
So he was dealing with the lack of facility of what he was used to, and he decided, I can develop on this, I can give this thing more functionality by creating Microsoft.
Which is what has driven the fourth industrial revolution, I tell you again, in those countries. That kind of innovation, it is something that was not owned by the government.
In fact, he's in a way, he actually started the computer revolution, because the computer revolution is what has led to the fourth industrial revolution.
Hence, do you see the trouble with Microsoft and Apple Macintosh?
Yeah.
That is why you did not have MS Word or MS Office on an Apple phone.
Sure.
Because there was these historical relations that governed that kind of relationship. But the point is, how is this relevant to the blog?
Yeah.
It is again addressing the same theme. What are the non-negotiables that put certain individuals or certain countries ahead? Now we will talk about countries, because at the end of the day, individuals always express something good about their countries.
Okay.
Yeah. Countries actually hop on. You see, Bill Gates, what is his name? Donald Trump did not make Google.
Yeah.
But today, he's the one that is demanding that Google must not just give technology to China. You understand what I mean? So there is always that relation between the state
and the people.
The state, the developmental states, such as China, such as America, they see the value of a state that is investing, so that it is not just about the mining, as it is the problem here.
Yeah.
If you get money from mining, if you get money from agriculture,
we're relying on your natural resources, and we are discounting the power of human capital
and that is where the intrinsic problem is. That's why they always say change the structure of the economy, because it is driven largely by three things: financial industry, mining industry. You know, raw materials. The world has changed, and in China they saw that very early. They picked it up and said, we are moving from being input driven and driving our economy through infrastructure, building and exporting our capability to build.
So they boosted, because this is something we touched on in the previous episode, they boosted their productivity so that they are competitive in the world economy. And this is something that
they realigned,
talking about.
Yes, they realigned themselves. They realigned themselves from the government down to the society and said, yeah, remember, we are in the middle of the League of Nations.
Sure.
And so we need to be competitive so that we've got strong economies that can balance our social order.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, it always goes with the state. If you don't have a developmental state, now President Ramaphosa now speaks about we need an entrepreneurial state. No, you know, I get shocked sometimes when I'm sitting there alone and say, but what kind of people are working there? Because in my old school understanding, that you need policy analysts that will not have had us come to this situation where we've got people getting losing their jobs in the banking center. Point being that if you have a state, if you meet those non-negotiables, for example, have institutions that have got people that are scientifically dealing with the concept of development. It's not just a thing.
It is
the difference between having a failed state and a state that is working. When I mean failed state, I'm talking about Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all the states, countries that there is war in. It's because the state failed in its elementary role. To develop itself, because it's like if you micro want to micro understand this thing. A government is like your house.
Yeah.
You in your house, you are the prince, the president, and you have
finance,
a vice president
and everything.
But you have a vice president as your wife.
All right.
And so and so and so, she's responsible for certain things and said. The nature of life that your children will have will be on the basis of the social plan you have for yourself. So if you micro understand that, you are saying the state that is South Africa failed to prepare its citizens for fire.
Come on.
You see?
Come on.
And largely, the reason being, first important reason, if you lack a visionary, inspirational, and innovative development theory and practice. Now, what do I mean by development? You see, this concept called development is a very broad thing.
Come on.
It's not that Mauza Rosa Bantuati, we didn't have a pipe there. And in fact, I laughed because in my previous time, as I was working with a number of counselors, you know, I was teaching counselors.
Yes.
A capacity building program just for themselves.
Yeah.
Interpersonal skills, emotional.
How to make sure that they are
how
equipped
to
handle the responsibility.
Exactly the point. And you would find that not only did you have counselors that didn't understand that they are in the middle of a much more broad and complex process called development.
Come on.
People will say, I'm trying to bring development to my area by just a pipe of water. No, that is the immediate expectation of why we have government. It's nothing of a special thing that because government has given a pipe there, a water. No, that is a government, in fact, the natural role of government.
That's the purpose of them being there.
That's the purpose of them being the first place. That's why people pay taxes, so that they can deal with health, they can deal with education, they can deal with employment, they can deal with just to maintain a healthy social order.
So you're talking about now planning where, for example, you have a document called the National Development whatever
plan,
right? That if ever that's not structured in a visionary way, primarily not only looking at the ideal that we want, but what's required of us. Because the example you were making of how you used to teach counselors to be able to be in a position where they are capable of actually fulfilling their responsibilities, that it needs to also deal with what's going to happen in the future and what are we going to need to have. Because it doesn't help for me to sit in my house and decide for myself what's going to be needed, but I need to know what's on demand.
Yes. Now, that is why you see when Harry Truman, the old
President Harry Truman,
the former, US president. It was around the 50s when he used the word development. You know, it's not a word that came out of nowhere. It just came with him. He said, the underdeveloped countries, when you are speaking.
Yeah.
Because Americans start here at the top. They set their vision in relation to all other nations in the world.
Okay.
They're conscious. That's the first level they're conscious about. They are who? A beacon of light.
Okay. So they
everything
have,
they
so
do,
they so they have an identity that they ascribe themselves.
They start there. Their nationalism says they are Americans. They are an advanced society.
So then that's the first thing that we as a country need to have, and the individual also needs to have. The listener also needs to have that sense of, this is what I am, and now I need to develop myself to be that.
That is the order. That is the order of human civilization. That is the order of
even successful
progress.
People, by the way, have that,
and
where they see themselves as something, and then they move in that direction.
They move in the direction of the vision. So the vision must be transformative. You can't have a vision to just do the same thing.
Yeah.
No, you have to have a vision to do something different.
Yeah.
Now, the South African state, as I said in a previous
podcast,
the South African state is still really cramped in the mode of an administrative state.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so, because it is so involved with redress politics and redress programs.
For example,
RDP, building houses, RDPs.
Basically providing stuff all the time.
Because now they're dealing with the backlog of what that apartheid state should have done.
Okay, sure.
It is no excuse that it is again neglecting consciousness about what the future holds at the global level. So the Americans are holding it at that level. Globally, all the decisions they make have got a global impact, because they have resolved to be
a leading
society in the world.
Yeah.
You see, really, really, this is very funny, because, you know, they're very, I wish I could sit and hear an American, why do you want to believe that you are an advanced? Why are you pursuing?
Why are you calling yourself that?
Yeah, why are you calling yourself that?
Nation, the wealthiest nation in the world, the most prosperous country in the world.
Is that important in any case? If I'm just asking, you know, an informal question to an American, it's interesting to know. Ne? You go to the Chinese. In fact, somebody was commenting about their recent, maybe last month, their recent parade.
Okay.
You see, we do the same, you know, on their national days, you would have a celebration of and a display of what the country has been able to achieve.
Sure.
So if there is a new aeroplane, it will be going there to show off that we have created.
Yes, its capacity.
Yes, its capacity.
And here's how it's better than everything else now that's come before.
Now we've just accepted, last week, two new Russian belt fighters.
Yes, when the president was there.
Yes. So now, we are playing global politics as sleepy participators, or participants, the right word, participants. Because these guys were sending a message, the Russians, that
this is what we have.
Yes, but they are Russians, my brother.
Mm.
You understand? Yeah. They are who they are. So the nationalism is a very important glue to a society. Now, you know our problem here. We've got racism, we've got
gender issues, we've got, we have it all, basically.
Yeah, we are just not finding ourselves. And in fact, the vision of a, which would have addressed the question of nationalism, the vision, the issue of the rainbow nation, it is lagging, you understand? It is a thing that is lagging. We can't properly define it.
So we had a philosophy, and we have failed to actually develop that philosophy to be even relevant currently now.
In fact, society really did not grab. In fact, it happens.
That's actually
in bits and pieces. In bits and pieces, it happens. When the bokeh come, we are all for that moment for the bokeh.
It's almost like a person who's taking pictures where they smile during the picture, and then they're unhappy after the picture.
After the picture,
that the truth of
indeed.
That it's not real for the person.
So that's level one of our problems.
Unifying philosophy.
Yes, because the, for example, the unifying philosophy of why, and in fact, companies like Huawei were able to come to being. It was largely because the foundations of the nationalism was allowing for the sprouting of such things, sprouting of innovators, sprouting of Alibaba. You understand? Because Alibaba became, not only because it started in China, but just imagine how it has swept through that industry of online shops.
There's actually, you know, a potential that you see these big change makers that you know, they start by solving one problem and they end up redefining the possibilities of what was known before,
yeah,
the boundaries of what was thought of as that.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. But that is the nature of those societies, exploratory.
Mm.
You know, by their nature, innovative. By their nature, the government has put the understanding of their people, its own understanding of their people, to say, we are Chinese. And as a politician there, I seek to understand what the vision of these people are without me telling them what their vision must be.
So the country ends up reflecting the culture of the people in that nation.
You know, you
talked about identity.
Yeah, you will see in the blog, as you read, just to get a little bit more the meat out of just the points that we're raising.
Yeah.
That you will see, for example, that the Communist Party of China really ended up ensuring that it germinates, if you want, or plants the seed of innovation at all levels of its society. Why?
Sure.
Because they were sitting here and thinking, what are we to be in the next 20 odd years?
Yeah.
Well, we've done that in this National Development Plan, but from my reading ever since, it has been that this thing is not really an understanding of a development trajectory or development vision from a point of view of the original concept.
Can you give us examples of things that were in there and have yet to translate into not only what we see, but what's needed specifically?
Look, most of the things that are in that NDP are not... In fact, almost everything is not achieved.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, what worried me about the NDP is that it speaks, as I was saying, the same old thing.
Yeah.
The same thing that government must do.
Yeah.
Government must make sure that institutions are effective. Strengthen the state. Create institutions to focus on economic development. We must make sure that the state is aligned. Those things are not even worth noting.
Because it's supposed to, it goes without saying.
It goes without saying. What you should be doing is saying those plans that you are saying must be done, those things that must be done, they must be done in a different manner. They cannot be in a development vision. The development vision would be what are we going to look like these Americans did, like these people did.
To envision,
envision something.
An ideal self and then aspire to that.
Exactly.
That it was supposed to have detailed where we desire to be. That, for example, we need to have 4 mega cities by this time. And then if we're going to have 4 mega cities, we need to improve on sector 1, 2, 3, that will give us the capacity
indeed,
to have those mega cities.
Not to have a national development plan that speaks of, that notes problems of our incapacities that we know we are causing ourselves.
I'm starting to understand what you're talking about, because what you're saying is that all it had in there was administrative imperatives that go without saying, as opposed to visionary steps that need to be taken, that now the administrative duties will obviously take care of.
Yeah, it's not addressing what changes do we want to see in the quality of life and in what South Africa has come up to be a shape that is different, not a South Africa that is still South Africa that we extract, we are known for gold and platinum.
Yeah.
The platinum belt in the northwest.
Yes, yes. Those are resources that we have.
Exactly.
We haven't even managed to put those to good use, and now we haven't developed anything else to add to what we have.
So what we have is a problem because we don't have what we call innovative development. And in fact, before I came across the China South Africa publication, when I was doing a bit of research, about the word, it's because I had in my own walking some time had this linkage between innovation and development. Development is a process that can be turned into anything you want.
Yeah.
Okay. But the innovation part, and I thought, you know what we're failing in South Africa is that we don't use innovative development. Innovative development says we put innovation at the center of all our development programs.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether it is trying to solve gender-based violence, we must put innovation in there, in the sense that we must be not wanting to give solutions that are obvious. That are obvious in the sense that what are we solving? Solving that people must not beat each other or rape each other, or are we trying to create a society
of that is compassion peaceful. Yeah. That is
peaceful? So the vision becomes peacefulness and compassion.
As opposed to administrative duties.
Which should have been done in the first place when somebody rapes somebody, that, you know,
this needs to be done.
It should follow because then it should follow because then the courts are there for that thing, a small crime. But again, the perceptiveness.
Yeah.
We have seen this come. And I say to you, because I used also to be a coordinator of the National 16 Days Campaign. Because what I saw at the time, the framing of the campaign was simply a public education campaign. Not to address everything, but to also draw together all these partners of. I'm just hitting on this.
Yes, go for it.
Just as an example. But here is where the problem is. The vision was how to coordinate state resources to not only sensitize people that, hey, there is a program of gender-based violence, but people were just too concerned about, no, make sure the police don't need to be told.
They know what their job is.
You understand what I'm trying to say? So we have a very problematic mind state, a culture of how we think through
things. Perhaps that's a symptom of that disconnected or I'm trying to come up with a word that describes that we had a philosophy, but that philosophy hasn't become us. We had an ideal that we put out there and it was not incorporated in society. Because look, if, for example, the philosophy was a rainbow nation and some of the tenets of that philosophy were Ubuntu, that look at our society right now. There is nothing that says there's Ubuntu about us. There's nothing that says we are a rainbow nation because we have racial tensions. And one of the things that we will do in our next episode, we will definitely make sure that we do this, is to, number one, list for you, and this is already in one of the blogs, you'll get the information on this recording, is that there are trends with 4IR that are basically taking over the world. You know, when you look at AI, when you look at robotics, when you look at all of these things, that we need to list these things out and then start to tackle them primarily from a perspective of what are the possible solutions that would be that would basically help us to create this future that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because obviously we need to look at what's happening around us, what we need, and what is this fourth industrial revolution bringing as a solution to us to say, here are the tools, decide what you want to be.
Indeed. More important, and Dogozo, also just as we close this aspect.
Yeah.
Nationalism. Important.
Yeah.
Because it has driven the nations that are leading in the 4IR.
It's a vital tool. It's a vital for tool. Any nation to have.
But bring it down to the next level, and maybe the last point for this episode. Because we had a state that has spent time giving and not including people to create a new
problem solving.
Yes, and a problem solving state. We have woken up too late because all these technologies advanced in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
It's not that today when we're fashioning this thing as something new,
It's not new.
It is something that has been creeping. And you see the data that people in those other countries kept on seeing and making interest. So you have government that has got institutions that also are not really focusing all their energies on intelligence seeking outside of the globe.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we are. We wake up to a new world, a new possibility.
A new world, and our neighbors are already far ahead of us now.
Yeah.
Because we're barely keeping up.
Because not only are we having weak institutions to be able to do that, the Chinese have rallied government and the people.
Yeah.
Okay. To create this beauty in front of them called a strong China.
Yeah.
So we need
a globally competitive.
So here we are with the fourth industrial revolution, are being now given the opportunity. Okay. Now, one of the things that given the opportunity now to frame ourselves in this new world.
Come on, man.
You understand?
Yeah.
So the individuals, frame yourself in a new world. And not be on a risk of whether or not you'll be in that world or out of that world.
Yeah.
Because that is, for us, that is...
That's the question right now.
It's
not a question of will we be thriving there? Will we be in there? That's the first question. Now.
No, definitely, definitely. For existence, because now we're looking at a new world.
Yeah.
Now, whether you are existing in that or you are ukatshelwena phandle, you are out of it.
Sure.
So for us as citizens, the question must be, what vision do we want in that new world? For government, what systems can we put in place that will be inclusive and that will work to help us invest in our people, so we create. You see, there are no people in government who are innovators in technology.
It's mostly administrators, basically.
And
it's the responsibility of the private sector and the individual, you listener, who needs to be that the source of that innovation.
They need to take advantage of this fourth industrial revolution, because in the first place, that is what Chinese citizens did. That is what all citizens of the world, of countries that are serious about having a healthy state and position in the global order of life.
Now here's the interesting thing, and this, I don't want to interrupt you because you're on a roll right now. We're number 35 or 36 in global GDP, to show you that, look, in terms of where we can be, We've fallen way down,
and you're right. Now, here is our president. You know, we can give them some, the government, we give them
some
a bit
credit,
of credit now, because much as they have responded late, it is the problem of the political challenges they had for the past 10 years.
Yes, yes. Not to mention the infighting now that's there.
But it came at a cost, because it made people sleep on the most important. Any state in the world that seeks progress and competitiveness gets itself organized around how to be conscious of change, what it implies, and in fact does things and actions that wish to counter that change that is negative, but also begins to be inspiring nation, excited, and say, hey, the Germans have built this car. We want to build this one.
There you go.
Those are the questions you should be asking yourself. Why are we even today not having I know there are these cell phones that they make, man. You know, they once tried to use all these artists, Kabelo Mapalani and what is this other one? I cannot remember. I cannot forget his name. But they were using them to advertise those. But those were small. It's not Alcatel.
Yeah.
Because Alcatel also it's a local producer.
Really. Okay.
But the point is, look at the level entry they did. They were making entry level phones. Alcatel, you know, as well as with the Mapopoto.
You know, for me, I'm wondering the question that, all right,
yes,
they started to do that. What stopped the growth? Because, you know, to play devil's advocate here, that look, they started to make let me be harsh and say a pathetic product, right?
Including Vodacom has got its own now.
Yeah.
Branded
Vodafone.
Vodafone.
Yeah.
The question you're asking is absolutely great, because it goes and highlights this last point that the blog has touched on.
Yes, yes.
Which is, you don't have institutions that an institutional infrastructure that helps SMEs, that helps. You've got National Empowerment Fund. You've got all the funds.
But they fail to actually be the fosters of this growth that we definitely need.
Because had it been that their business tasks are connected to a vision of saying, when these people come and want to expand and innovate, give them this
Let's
money.
Foster that change. Because look, one of the things that we were talking about off air is the question of the NYDA, that look, that's an institution that was set up specifically for the purpose of fostering this innovation, this growth from the youth, from the citizens. And you know, you talk to people who have tried to engage with institutions like the NYDA, and we'll try and have someone from on the show to actually tell us about what have they managed to achieve. Because the truth of the matter is this, and this is, I'm saying this in closing as well, the truth of the matter is this: government cannot, by virtue of we're not going to be able to afford it, cannot close the gap of unemployment. It needs to be the private sector at the forefront of that. If it's going to be the private sector, whatever is being done in the country by institutions, by the vision, by the NY, by whatever it is that we have, it needs to address the fact that we need to develop and become something that is going to be suitable for everybody. Yes. We've failed to do that. We missed the target. And now we're finding ourselves in a position where we're responding to something and we don't have not only the capital to do it, but the physical structures to actually be able to absorb whatever's happening right now.
No, thank you, Dokozo. Even for my side, in closing, for the listeners, the point you are raising is critical. Preparedness.
Come on.
We were not prepared, and in fact, we still are not prepared, because we should even redesign the business support infrastructure
and the education system, by the way.
Yes. Now you have, you know, these financiers, IDC, development finance institutions, if you want to call them that, even at that medium level that it deals with SMEs.
Sure.
The point here is, they are not designed in the context of an agenda of a different mode of development. What we are here is stuck in the old mold.
We need to get out of that.
And we need to get out of that, if not only for us to survive, you know, the changes that are coming, but to take advantage of
it.
And with that, Dokozo, I shall see you on our next episode.
Let's go for it. Listener, please join us on our next podcast as we desire to inspire a coordinated, inclusive response. This is 4IR South Africa podcast with myself, your host, Dokozo Mthembu, and my co-host, Ubranel. We are. See ya. Shalom.